Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. You found it. This program your friends have been telling you. Yeah, listen to this crazy son of a bitch. He's out of his mind. Before we get too deeply into the program tonight, and we certainly do have an interesting show for you this evening. Plus, we have a couple of dance numbers. So if you have a dance partner, call him or her up and get together. We'll give you about 30 minutes, 45 minutes until the program really gets heated and messy, and then we'll have to take a dance break. But before we get too far into that, I want to ask you again to consider becoming a Nova M founding member. The way to do that is just go to NovaMradio.com, and the information is there, founding members. It costs you $10 a month or $100 a year, and what you get for that what you get are free downloads and podcasts when you want them, commercial free. There's Malloy swag available at the website. I think there's some Randy Rose stuff available. What else? Oh yeah, the Malloy's uncensored mailbag is available there. It's a video, and we say bad words, and the kind of bad words you can't say on the radio. You can say it on HBO, but you can't say it on the radio. And why do we say those bad words? Because that's how they come. That's how the emails come to us by the right wing freaks who listen to the program and don't know how to handle it. So they just write to me, and it gets pretty funny. So you get that. What else do you get? Now, if you're already a founding member or you don't need the podcast, consider a gift subscription for your favorite progressive who needs a liberal download. You know, somebody has a birthday or don't give it as a wedding gift. Birthday, maybe a holiday. We got all kinds of holidays between now and the end of the year, whether you're Muslim, Jewish, Christian, atheist, Wiccan, whatever. All sorts of holidays in there, so that's an idea. What else? Is that it? Okay. The reason we're asking you to do this, it is one more way to help keep Nova M Radio cranking out the kinds of programs that really, truly drive you nuts. So even if you're a right-winger and you know who you are, we'll take your money too. Well, okay, we'll take your money too. But we do ask for your support. That's how it goes in the United States of America. You don't need to bail us out. We're not looking for the Fed to step in and print a whole bunch of money. We're looking for founding members. Where are we? Around 4,000 or 6,000? On the day that we there's talk amongst the executives of this country, of this company, that there's going to be some kind of a shebang when we hit 10,000. Something really, what is it? Is it a trip to Greece? No, that's not it. Paris? No. Maybe Atlanta? What?
We get our constitution back.
Oh, we get our constitution back. Okay. So do consider it. If you're out of work or broke or just can't afford it, we certainly understand. Everything that's free at Nova M Radio is free. The subscriber series or the founding members thing is truly an option. But there are some benefits to it, and we hope you'll check it out. Okay, we need your support, truth seekers. I don't know how else to say it. So consider becoming a founding member, if you would. Go to NovaMradio.com and check it all out. Where are we? Oh, yes. Let's start with Prairie 2's email today. It's the VIG that matters. You all know what the VIG is, don't you? The vigorish? The take, the interest, what the bookie gets, whatever. Hey, Mike, today the stock market came back from yesterday's losses on the rumor that the Treasury Department is going to pick up all the bad paper. Word is that the Democratic Congress will go along with this nonsense lest they get the blame for the mess the Republicans have made. But Congress is going to try to avoid the wrath of voters by giving them another check, too. There simply is no place to get this kind of money. We are already on the hook for more money than the entire U.S. gross domestic product. In other words, if we turned over every dollar that changes hands in the U.S. for an entire year, it wouldn't pay back what the Republicans have borrowed in our name from foreign banks. It isn't the amount of money that we owe that matters. Nobody cares if we ever pay it back. It's the VIG that matters. Even before the Republicans added the latest trillions to our debt, the interest was $450 billion per year. You could run three Iraq wars with that much money, three of them simultaneously, forever. Since we are already past the point where Congress can cut spending enough to get the budget down to where they aren't increasing the debt, the amount of VIG will just keep getting bigger. Of course, at some point, the House of Cards will simply collapse. P.S. They opened the new I-35 bridge in St. Paul, Minnesota today. They should put a plaque on it that says, "The last new bridge ever built in the U.S." Yeah, we talked about this. No, we didn't talk about it. I screamed about this last night, about the idiocy and the unfairness and the short-sightedness and the obscenity of hundreds of billions, literally hundreds of billions, going to rescue these failed corporate monsters after they have been used to churn nobody knows how many trillions of dollars through them that was glommed up, billions in profits over the past 4 or 5 years, 6 years, glommed up by that uber class of capitalist thugs who are global, who live wherever they want to live, who are transnational, who obey no laws, no rules, no sovereignty. They do what they want. The problem with that, of course, is that when the profits are made, it goes to them. When the debt becomes unpayable, it goes to us. So, yeah, the stock market was up 400 points today. Woohoo! Churning, churning, churning. Let's see what happens tomorrow. We have a couple of sound bites here from McCrazy. And, we have one sound bite from McCrazy and two from the Lipstick Pig Woman that are just amazingly, hysterically funny. Let's see. Can we squeeze in the one from McCain? You want to wait? All right. We'll wait until after this break. But he was at a town hall meeting yesterday with Caribou Barbie in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He is in the speech or whatever it was that he gave there. You know, he keeps looking down at his notes. That drives me crazy. It really does. I had an English teacher one time, way back in high school, who made it very clear to us that when we were to give a presentation in class, if she caught us looking at notes or 3x5 cards or reading, she made it very clear, "I will come to the front of the class, rip out of your hands whatever you're holding and throw it in the trash." And that's the that stuck with me all these years. You know, 75 years later, I still remember Miss Fields, that was her name, Miss Fields, telling us what she would do. And when I see McCain giving his addresses, as he is wont to do as he travels around for his little old town hall meetings, and I see him reading like that, he constantly looks down. He can get maybe 8 words out, and then he looks down. 8 words, he looks down. 8 words, and he looks down. Dear God! You know, I want to press the magic buzzer froggy and jump through the screen, grab his papers, and throw them in the trash. How, if he were president, I mean, how, what would he do when he met with the head of state? What would he do when he met with Chavez? Well, Hugo, my friend, let me see. The oil situation here is such that we need to figure out a way. It's madness. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
no subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Regarding McCain reading his notes, Lauren writes, gee, Mike, if you change your viewpoint almost daily and you were 72, I think you'd need to look at those notes, especially if you had spent 5 years as a POW in Vietnam. Okay. All right. John McCain at a town hall with Caribou Barbie in Grand Rapids, Michigan, from yesterday. McCain continues to spout, how do I put this charitably? Okay, nonsensical statements. First, he declared the economy was fundamentally strong on a day when Wall Street was collapsing and the stock market plunging. Then at a town hall yesterday in Grand Rapids, he made this bizarre statement about why we should support more offshore drilling. Because fish love oil rigs. Which is kind of reminiscent of Dim Sun's statement about how fish and humans can coexist. Well, it worked for him.
An oil rig off of the Louisiana coast. It survived hurricanes. It is safe. It is sound. And to somehow, and by the way, on that oil rig, and I'm sure you've probably heard this story, you look down and there's fish everywhere. There's fish everywhere. The fish love to be around those rigs. So not only can it be helpful for energy, it can be for some pretty good meals as well. But the point is, as far as China and Cuba is concerned, we continue to hear that there is negotiations or conversations, or I'm not exactly sure what the state of play is, but. It's not a healthy thing, obviously.
Oh my God! That little last bit there, he's talking about the Chinese are cutting a deal with the Cubans to do some offshore oil explorations off the coast of Cuba, of course, within their territorial waters, and that has McCain just totally befuddled. I'm not exactly sure, my friends, what the state of play is. But it's not a healthy thing, obviously. Why not? I mean, the Cubans need money. The Chinese need oil. Hello, what's wrong with that? That's how we do it. I think it sounds very healthy. And as far as it's good for the fish, more oil rigs. It'll be better. All right, some fact-checking. Hurricanes don't damage oil rigs. This is from thinkprogress.org regarding what this strange man said yesterday. Hurricanes don't damage oil rigs. Well, the U.S. Minerals Management Service, that's the gang that's been accused of sex and drugs and rock and roll and stealing money. The U.S. Minerals Management Service estimates that Hurricane Katrina and Rita, hurricanes plural, Katrina and Rita destroyed 113 offshore oil platforms and caused 124 offshore spills for a total of 743,700 gallons of oil. In fact, damage to offshore producers accounted for 77% of the oil industry's storm costs. Damage from the hurricane. And in the wake of Hurricane Ike, there are at least three offshore oil rigs missing and presumed to be total losses. Somebody needs to tell McCain that. Nah, let him continue to say what he's saying. Fish love oil rigs, myth number two. McCain is pushing an oil industry talking point. Well, while marine biologists have seen fish congregating around oil rigs, it doesn't mean they're good for wildlife. The Environmental Defense Center's Linda Kropp said that's like taking a picture of birds on a telephone wire and saying, hey, telephone wires, they love them. It's an essential habitat. Without the platforms, of course, fish would likely return to natural reefs. And, you know, I wonder, when McCain says, well, there's food down there, or what do you say? The fish love those rigs and can be helpful for some pretty good meals as well. Can you see? I don't know. Maybe it happens. Maybe a fisherman approached the rigs. Let's hope that they have their IDs and their American flags ready. But they approach the rigs and what? Fish? Okay. Now, myth three. Cuba is allowing China to drill near the U.S. coast. The Congressional Research Service has unequivocally concluded that Cuba has not permitted China to drill near the U.S. coastline in the Gulf of Mexico. Even Darth Vader has admitted this talking point is false. And more on Darth Vader's old lady, Lynn Cheney, a little bit later on in the program. All right, let's move on. Well, no, let's not. We have a break here. But when we come back, we have a couple from the Lipstick Pig Woman that you're going to find amusing. She actually uses the word fungible and the word molecules in the same sentence. I kid you not. Stick around. You've got to hear this. Fungible and molecules. Oh, by the way, have you been to prosecutegeorgebush.com yet today? We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Out in the sun, where I let the row have done, I say hoeing ain't no fun. I ain't got no ambition on fishing by a shady, weighty pool. Gone fishing out of work and out of school. I don't want to be annoyed by Reagan or by Freud. Gone fishing instead of just a wish.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. It's the end.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, let's go to the Lipstick Pig Woman. She was at that town hall meeting with G.I. John in Grand Rapids. And remember when McCain told reporters that Caribou Barbie is the smartest person on energy in America? Which is an exact quote. And that's because she lives close to Russia. That's something else. Because there's oil in Alaska. Anyway, at the town hall meeting yesterday, and a member of the audience asked the erudite energy genius about whether or not America would get first dibs on any oil produced there from the new drilling, such as what they want to do in the Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge. If there would be a ban on exporting that oil so we could have it here, you know, here's the answer from the smartest person on energy in America.
Oil of coal, of course, it's a fungible commodity, and they don't flag, you know, the molecules where it's going and where it's not. But in the sense of the Congress today, they know that there are very, very hungry domestic markets that need that oil first. So I believe that what Congress is going to do also is not to allow the export bans to such a degree that it's Americans who get stuck holding the bag without the energy source that is produced here, pumped here. It's got to flow into our domestic markets first.
Maybe she's having problems here because English is her second language, the first being speaking in tongues. Shalomadi hondo, little bit of banza, banza, banza. Never mind. If you didn't read my mini blog today, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's a fungible commodity, and they don't flag, you know, the molecules, where it's going and where it's not. What does this sentence mean? So I believe that what Congress is going to do also is not to allow, I thought what they're going to do. Okay. I believe that what Congress is going to do also is not to allow the export bans to such a degree that it's Americans that get stuck to holding the bag. Anybody want to take a guess what in the name of hell that means?
In what regard, Charlie?
I'm getting... And why does she talk like this? Oil and coal? Of course, it's a fungible commodity. Praise Jesus. Where's that bag of snakes?
You're a bunch of cool-looking Christians, I'll tell you that.
Now, Palin's a foreign policy expert, too, you know, because she can see Russia from, I don't know, from what? From her house, from the Aleutian Islands, from Alaska, from her husband's fishing. I don't know, but you can see Russia from somewhere up there. So, here she is, Miss Wannabe America, answering the softball question about her foreign policy expertise. Here's the question. Wait, you hear the answer.
Governor Palin, there has been quite a bit of discussion about your perceived lack of foreign policy experience, and I want to give you your chance right now. If you could, please respond to that criticism and give us specific skills that you think you have to bring to the White House to rebut that or mitigate that concern.
Well, I think because I'm a Washington outsider that the opponents are going to be looking for a whole lot of things that they can criticize, and they can kind of try to beat the candidate here who chose me as his partner to kind of tear down the ticket. But as for foreign policy, you know, I think that I am prepared, and I know that on January 20th, if we are so blessed as to be sworn into office as your president and vice president, certainly we'll be ready. I'll be ready. I have that confidence. I have that readiness. And if you want specifics with specific policy or countries, go ahead and you can ask me. You can even play stump the candidate if you want to. But we are ready to serve.
She just did ask you. And your answer was, I think I'm prepared. I have that confidence. You know, I can dance around my living room without my shirt, and it doesn't make me Mick Jagger, sweetie. Saying you're something doesn't make it so, baby cakes. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it does. That's right. I have a 4-year-old.
Look, Daddy, I'm a fairy.
Yes, you are, Molly.
Look, Daddy, I can fly.
No. Get away from the window.
Look, Daddy.
You know, you kind of expect that from a 4-year-old, right? Saying you're something doesn't make it so. You can't say you're able to negotiate with Putin just because of your nice view of his country from somewhere in Alaska. Jesus Christ, woman! Into the fray steps... Who? Into the fray steps... All right, damn it. What's this from, Gaddy? Hold on a minute. Is this from the... The BBC? Is this from...
Can't you just see Kay Bailey Hutchinson or Olympia Snow or any host of qualified Republican females watching some of this stuff and saying, you know, I think I'm ready, and I'm really excited about going there and talking about foreign policy and stuff?
No, I can't see that at all. This is from the Telegraph of the UK. I love the headache. Oh, God. I love the headline. Sarah Palin phenomenon could have peaked. There are growing signs that the Republican presidential running mate's appeal may have peaked. With the Democratic candidate, Senator Barack Obama, crawling back ahead in the polls, a position he occupied before the Alaska governor's thrilling entry into the presidential race, Democrats are increasingly confident that the Palin effect on the electorate has reached its limit. After an initial burst of support among white women, the shock choice for Republican vice president nominee of an inexperienced governor who hunts moose and has 5 children has solidified the female vote in the party's base. That would be the snake handlers and those that love to talk in tongues. Honey, is supper ready? Honey, hondo, sandali, sandali, sandali. Oh, Jesus, not that again. Wait till Sunday morning. Shalomini, hondo. Is supper ready is all I said. The base is satisfied with this woman, the Republican base. But a new poll by the New York Times CBS is suggesting that so far, whatever non-base female voters she attracted are now leaving because they understand what a psychopath this woman really is. just starting with her views that a woman should not have the privacy to make decisions about her own reproductive organs under any circumstances. Now, I know there are a lot of hypocritical white women who are Republicans who will go along with that idea. Of course, if they ever choose to get one for themselves or have one for one of their 15-year-old daughters, I'm talking about an abortion, they will, by God, get that abortion. But as far as the privacy that they afford themselves, that's not to be shared with hoi polloi. At her first joint question and answer session with McCain, her senior partner leapt to her defense when she was challenged by a member of the audience on her foreign policy credentials. Ms. Palin had answered gamely, "I am prepared and I am confident. If you want specifics, go ahead. You can even play stump the candidate." Now, before anyone could take up her offer, of course, McCain interrupted, saying that being a mother of a soldier in Iraq and commander of the Alaskan National Guard was ample qualification for high office. Oh, son of a bitch, I am so tired of this woman. I am so, please, Sarah, please, look, go back, do some moose. Go, just please, leave, get out of my ears. I can't stand it. And I can't ignore her. She's too goddamn funny. I mean, I can't. But she does remind me of the snake handling fundamentalists that you can find up in North Georgia mountains and North Carolina and West Virginia and Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and Arkansas and Texas and North Carolina. I said that one. South Carolina and certain parts of Southern Virginia, a little bit of Kentucky, some Tennessee. You know, the Confederate South. Snake handlers. Now, by the way, her hubris is starting to spread. Her husband, the first dude, Todd, the first dude who participates in state business in person or by email as though he were elected to something. But you see, that's how it works in the fundamentalist, psychopathic Christian, quote, family. She submits to him, period, end of story. She may be the governor, but he makes the decisions. That's just the way it works. So his name is all over everything in state business. But he is refusing to testify in the investigation of his old lady's abuse of power. Oh, no, I ain't going. No, hell no. Go ahead. Can't make me. Can't make me. The Alaska Attorney General earlier this week said the governor, who was not subpoenaed, declined to participate in the investigation and said that Palin administration employees who have been subpoenaed also have said no. And now the first dude says, kiss my ass. Before the hour, imagine if Michelle Obama were to refuse to cooperate in an investigation of her husband, as Todd Palin is refusing to cooperate in the investigation. Just imagine the uproar by the media. Huh? McCain really, this is not funny. He really does have some problems here. Some mental problems. He really does. I think that's the reason that he has to read everything. I've said before, I've had one that I know of, maybe two relatives die of Alzheimer's. I am not mocking the disease. I never mock the disease. I may have ugly things to say about the people who suffer from diseases, but I don't mock the disease or the actual suffering. And McCain is showing, as far as my limited ability to understand what the early forms of or the early manifestations of Alzheimer's are, and McCain is showing that. And I've talked to a couple other people who are smarter than I am in this field of health, and they reluctantly, but they do agree. They reluctantly, yes, it appears so. El País, a network or a newspaper in Spain, interviewed him. The reporter kept trying to help him focus when she asked some questions about Spain. But McCain kept talking about, quote, leaders in the hemisphere, end quote, referring to this hemisphere. Still hoping to get McCain or to help McCain with his obvious confusion, she said, the interviewer said, quote, okay, but I'm talking about Europe, the president of Spain. Would you meet with him? End quote. McCain did not answer the question. He said, quote, I will reunite with any leader that has the same principles and philosophy that we do, human rights, democracy, and liberty, and I will confront those that don't, end quote. And he eventually said, quote, honestly, I have to analyze our relationships, situations, and priorities, end quote, as if Spain, a longtime U.S. ally and NATO member, might not enjoy strong ties with the McCain administration. Now, there's some problems the Bushes had with Zapatero, the Spanish prime minister. Zapatero pulled the few Spanish troops out of Iraq. And back in 2004, and as a result of that, he's kind of been persona non grata at the White House. Now, according to reports, Zapatero requested through intermediaries a White House visit. And Bush has essentially given him the finger, just said no. But that's George Bush. You play by George Bush's playbook, no matter the cost to you. If your family members are killed, if your military is decimated, if your economy is going down the toilet, and you say, well, I can't play with George Bush anymore, George Bush then says, well, the hell with you then. You see, it only works one way with Bush, because he is an active drunk. So Zapatero has been wanting a visit just to kind of smooth things over, and Bush says no. And that's when the radio talk show host asked McCain if he'd meet with Zapatero. And his answer was nonsense. It just didn't make any sense. Now, in addition to that, you have to remember that McCain thinks the recent conflict between Russia and the Republic of Georgia was, his words, quote, the first probably serious crisis internationally since the end of the Cold War, end quote. Does he not know what happened during the Clinton years with the bombing of Serbia and the full force of NATO used in Central Europe with hundreds? Is he not aware of Iraq war, the Persian Gulf war? Is he not aware of the battles between Israel and Lebanon? Is he not aware of the bombing in Syria by the Israeli Air Force? Jesus God! Further, he thinks Iraq and Pakistan share a border. He believes Czechoslovakia is still a country. Apparently, he's not aware that it's been dismembered even further. He's been confused about the difference between Sudan and Somalia. He's not sure whether he wants more U.S. troops in NATO. U.S. troops in Afghanistan or NATO troops in Afghanistan or both. He doesn't know how many U.S. troops are in Iraq. He's been confused about whether the U.S. can maintain a long-term presence in Iraq. He denies completely the statement of 100 years. He doesn't get Iran's relationship with al-Qaeda, much less Iraq's. He doesn't know the difference between Sunni and Shia. And following a recent trip to Germany, he talked about President Putin of Germany. This is incoherence. What would happen? What would the chattering classes, the talking heads on television, how would they handle this if Barack Obama had made these kinds of mistakes over the course of a campaign? What would all the reporters and pundits and Republicans and scumsuckers and lying sons of bitches and corporate thugs have to say about Obama's ability to lead a complex world in a time of war and uncertainty if Obama had said this? Huh? Yeah. All right. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. Let me go back to that McCain in Spain is a slightly insane thing that we were trying to do right before the break. Got an email here from Mark, a blogger at Foreign Policy website. Sums up the prevailing view here of what happened. It's fairly obvious that McCain doesn't intend to describe Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero of Spain as one of America's enemies. He just has no idea what the interviewer, who the interviewer was talking about. As in, did he have a senior moment? Did he get confused? Did the interviewer have too much of an accent? Was McCain thinking about the Zapatistas in Mexico? The Zapatas? Why did he reference Latin America? Randy Shuneman, who is McCain's chief foreign policy advisor, writes in an email to the Atlantic.com blogger who put this together that McCain knew precisely what the questioner meant and that indeed, quote, Senator McCain refused to commit to a White House meeting with President Zapatero in this interview, end quote. But wait a minute. In April, McCain strongly hinted that he'd let bygones be bygones and expected to invite Zapatero to the White House. So the blogger writes why, I asked by way of follow-up, did McCain seem to change his mind? Here's what Randy Shuneman emailed back. Quote, in this week's interview, Senator McCain did not rule in or rule out a White House meeting with President Zapatero, a NATO ally. If elected, he will meet with a wide range of allies in a wide variety of venues, but is not going to sell out or spell out scheduling and meeting location specifics in advance. He is also not going to make reckless promises to meet America's adversaries. Zapatero? It's called keeping your options open. Unlike Senator Obama, who has publicly committed to meet some of the world's worst dictators unconditionally in his first year in office. You know, whatever was in McCain's head is open for speculation. But it seems that the Spanish press is really coming down on this jerk. Instead of reading McCain as signaling his willingness to one day meet with Zapatero, the Spanish press is reading him as a numbskull who has no idea who Zapatero is. I would go with the latter. And then Catherine Zaleski, writing a Huffington Post, lists a whole series of reports on McCain's weirdness. Everything from the New York Times to Time Magazine to the Washington Post. For example, NBC. McCain struck a tough quasi-populist pose this morning during his morning sweep of the television news shows. Speaking to NBC's Matt Lauer about the current crisis on Wall Street, the Republican nominee said executives have, quote, treated it like a casino and need to be held accountable and stop walking away with these fat cat packages, end quote. Okay, well, leave aside for a moment the fact that one of McCain's top economic advisors is the former Hewlett-Packard CEO, Carly Fiorina, who bankrupted Hewlett-Packard and then walked away with a $42 million fat cat package after being fired. I mean, forget that. Overall, the generic Wall Street fat cat is a tough character for McCain to cast as his nemesis, given his success, McCain's success, in fundraising among these people. As Bloomberg reported Monday night, securities and investment companies have collectively donated millions to both McCain and Obama. Millions. And McCain said, "Wow, well, we got to hold them accountable." Oh, come on. You lying son of a bitch. You're like any Republican. Everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. You're saying the stuff that you think these poor bobble-headed Republicans that you and Bush and Pappy Bush and Reagan and Clinton have just beat into the ground, you think they're going to vote for you again. And you know what, John? You're probably right. You're probably right. This is America. We are the dumbest asses on earth where it concerns our political system. We don't have a clue. We don't care. Well, I'm going to vote Republican. Why? They've destroyed the country. Yeah, but they won't let the queers get married. And they'll stop abortion. Yeah, but what about everything? I don't care about everything else. You know, the queers get married and all the marriages forever fall apart. It's all over. The family falls apart. Kids on the streets. You talking about Sarah Palin's family? No! Don't be a smartass. You know what I'm talking about. And they'll do this. They'll do this. This was the wedge issues invented by Karl Rove's sponsor, Karl Rove's mentor, Lee Atwater. Remember Lee Atwater? I've said this before, but it bears repeating. Lee Atwater, he was the guy that really poisoned the political system. He was a Republican operative. He was the one that said during the Dukakis Bush 1 operation, by the time this campaign's over, the people are going to think that Willie Horton is Michael Dukakis' stepbrother or something, whatever it was. But it was Atwater was a real son of a bitch. He was just utterly, thoroughly, completely evil. And he developed brain cancer. And he knew he had very little time left. So he first of all, he was looking for healing, not curing. There's a difference. Healing. And the way he attained his healing was to admit and confess and ask for forgiveness for what he had done to the American political system. He really did. He, on his deathbed. Look it up. You can do a Google. Lee Atwater, deathbed confession, whatever. It's there. He apologized for all the poison he'd pumped into the system. Well, nobody really paid any attention in the Republican Party because they had been pumping it into the system ever since. And Karl Rove, who was a disciple of Lee Atwater's, just picked it up when Atwater finally rotted away. Karl Rove was right there to pick it up. Now, eventually, Karl Rove will rot away and somebody will pick it up from Karl Rove. But it's awful. They will say anything. They will do anything. They will tell as many lies as necessary. They don't care, Republicans. They just don't care. Time Magazine's Joe Klein, who is not really he's not really a uninterested journalist. Klein carries water for the Republican Party every chance he can get. Time's Joe Klein has an article that says increasing numbers of otherwise sober observers are calling John McCain a liar. Klein says, politics has always been lousy with blather and chicanery, but there are rules and traditions, too. In the early weeks of the general election campaign, a consensus has grown in the political community, a consensus that ranges from practitioners like Karl Rove to commentators like, well, me, that John McCain has allowed his campaign to slip the normal bounds of political propriety. The situation has gotten so intense that we in the media have slipped our normal rules as well. Usually when a candidate tells something less than the truth, we mince words. We use euphemisms like mendacity and inaccuracy, or as the Associated Press puts it, McCain's claims skirt facts. But increasing numbers of otherwise sober observers, even such august institutions as the New York Times editorial board, are calling John McCain a liar. Whoa, really, Joe? Huh? I guess there's a limit, even for people like you. Right, Joe Klein? Even for people like you. Even for John Fund, who's making the TV rounds, who is trying to present himself as, McCain is, he's not a real conservative. He's not a real Republican. You people make me sick. But it's fun to watch you.
Are you as ungrateful as you appear? You wish I was. Well, one day soon, that dam is gonna break, and it'll wash you away, it'll wash you away. Yeah, one day soon, that dam is gonna break, and it'll wash you
matter. When somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to come and build the building. And when the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work. New opportunity employment.
Oh, Jesus, God. All right. Look, I've got something coming up here about the Palin family. The National Enquirer goes on sale tomorrow, and this is just an absolute shocker. So I think before we do this, we probably need to dance a little bit. So, have you got some dance music? We're not going to do Who Stole the Kishka. We have some new dance music here. I want everybody to get up. Come on, stretch. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Okay. Oh, God, doesn't that feel good? Put your arms up like you're being raptured. Whoa! Oh, man, it feels real good in the armpits, right down the side. Okay, here we go. You ready? Let's boogie.
Boom, boom, boom.
My grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My
hey!
Grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, Aiko, Ande. Giacomo, Pino, Anane. Giacomo, Pinane.
Come on, get up, get up. Here we go. Here.
Look at my king all dressed in red. Aiko, Aiko, Ande. I'll bet you $5 you can stand on his head. Giacomo Pinani.
Come on.
Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, Aiko, Ande. Giacomo Pinani. Giacomo
Pinani. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
My playboy and your playboy sitting by
boom, 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 he's not a man, but a dancing machine. Jack Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. I'm going on day. Jack a mofino, I'm not a man. Jack a mofino. Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now. I go on day. Jack a mofino, I'm not a man. Jack a mofino.
All right. All right. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Iko, Iko. And if you're a good audience for the rest of the evening, in the next hour, we may play Little Latin Loopy Lou by the Righteous Brothers. Iko, Iko. I love that song. All right. I don't know what y'all were doing, but man, we just get up and dance around the studio. The National Enquirer is ready to break a story tomorrow. And it says here in their release, the Enquirer's team of reporters has combed the Alaskan wilderness to discover the hidden truth about Governor Palin's family, which has become a central part of her political identity. The Enquirer has learned exclusively that Sarah's oldest son, Track, was addicted to the power drug OxyContin for nearly the past 2 years, snorting it, eating it, smoking it, and even injecting it. And as Track, 19, heads to Iraq as part of the U.S. Armed Forces, Sarah and her husband Todd were powerless to stop his wild antics, detailed in the new issue of The Enquirer, which goes on sale today. Good Lord. Well, they were right about Edwards. The Enquirer also has exclusive details about Track's use of other drugs, including cocaine, and his involvement in a notorious local vandalism incident. Our source also divulged the girls would do anything for Track, and he'd use his local celebrity status to manipulate other guys to get them to steal things he wanted. Our source said, quote, he finally did what a lot of troubled kids here do. You join the military. End quote. And as Governor Palin has billed the state of Alaska for various expenses related to her children, as reported by the Washington Post, the Enquirer's investigation reveals that she was so incensed by 17-year-old Bristol's pregnancy that she banished her daughter from the house. Bristol was a huge stoner and drinker, our source said. I've seen her smoke pot and get drunk and make out with so many guys. All the guys would brag they had just made out with Bristol. End quote. Oh, my God. I don't think the Enquirer knows what they're talking about. I'm just, you know, reporting all this with, well, you know, it's out there. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Everybody.
America is in the lead when it comes to energy independence. We're in the lead when it comes to global climate change, and we'll stay that way.
Yeah, as long as you're in office and the next three or four presidents, I guess, and then it'll be all over. 25 before the hour. So these dirty, rotten rumor mongers at the National Enquirer are really putting it out there. Track Palin is an OxyContin addict. Now, you can bet your ass Rush Limbaugh is not going to talk about this one, right? Unless it is to commiserate and suggest a place where Track, well, he's in the military now, but where he could have gotten some help, same place Rush did. Remember Rush's Pat the Pony bit when he went to this $10,000 a day rehab center? Huh? Pat the Pony. The Enquirer is also saying that pre-Prego Bristol was as much of a hard partier as Track was. One of her associates says Bristol was a huge stoner and drinker. I've seen her smoke pot and get drunk and make out with so many guys. All the guys who bragged that they just made out with Bristol. And according to the Enquirer's filthy, rotten, lying source, when Sarah found the teen was pregnant by high schooler Levi Johnston, she was actually banished from the house. As part of the cover-up, Palin quickly transferred Bristol to another high school and made her move in with Sarah's sister, Heather, 25 miles away. And the Enquirer also learned that Levi Johnston, the baby mama's future wedded dad, who was glad-handed by John McCain at the convention, isn't too happy about his impending shotgun nups either. Levi's friend told the Enquirer, Levi got dragged out of the house to go to Minnesota. Levi realized he's stuck being with Bristol because her mom is running for vice president. You know, he just wants to party, man. Damn. God damn. You know. Meanwhile, as members of the Palin family war viciously over Troopergate, and claims of Sarah's extramarital affair have turned the political race into a chaotic arena of threats, denials, and vicious attacks by political operators, the Enquirer has discovered shocking new details about the Red Hot Affair scandal. I guess that's for the next issue. Jesus, God. Nobody believes the Enquirer, you know.
And Todd, you know, the dude is abiding, but he will not abide with apparently testifying in Troopergate.
No, none of them will. Nobody's going to testify. All of Palin's associates and employees and husband and her, they've all decided at the direction of the McCain operatives not to testify. Sounds like, and they're saying that this is not going to be Bush 3 if they get elected, please.
But Mike, I want you to know that Track, Brick, or whatever I named him, he has a Jesus fish tattooed on his calf. So that really, really counts for a lot up here in Alaska. That's like absolution.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God. There are fewer than 3 months until the election. Actually, there are fewer than 2 months until the election, an election that will decide the next president of the United States. The person elected will be the president of all Americans, not just the Democrats, not just the Republicans. To show our solidarity as Americans, let's all get together and show each other our support for the candidate of our choice. It's time that we come together, Democrats and Republicans alike. If you support the policies and character of Senator Obama, please drive with your headlights on during the day. And if you support John McCain, please drive with your headlights off at night. Thank you for your participation. Where did that come from? Now, we have something else here. The Huffington Post, Deepak Chopra has written about Palin. But we'll get to that maybe later, because I wanted to share with you. I woke up this morning, and normally I go right to the kind of virtual spouse abuse program. That's Morning Joe, where poor Mika Brzezinski is constantly verbally battered or ignored, which is even worse, by Joe Scarborough, former Republican member of Congress from the Florida Panhandle, who never has fully answered questions about how a young woman's corpse was found in his office there. Oh, well, she, you know, fell down. But I usually go to Morning Joe because I want to see just how much the little roundtable on that show will tolerate Joe's physical and verbal abuse. Well, not physical, but verbal and psychological abuse of Mika Brzezinski. I'm surprised that her father, Zbigniew Brzezinski, hasn't ordered one of his friends to just target the MSNBC studio with a missile and blow the son of a bitch into hamburger. I really am. I mean, it's this little girl who gets kicked around out there by Joe Scarborough. But anyway, I digress. I go to that program in the morning. First thing, as soon as I wake up, Molly's climbing over me. Get up, Daddy! She's ready to go to school, of course. And her mother brings me a cup of coffee because I'm the oldest person in our family, and it takes me a while to be able to sit up. When I finally do sit up, reach for the clicker, turn on Morning Joe. What did I see this morning? I don't know. It was so bad, I switched off and went to CBS's morning show where I saw Lynn Cheney. Lynn Cheney. She's a New York Times best-selling author, along with being the Second Lady of the United States, don't you know? She has a new children's book out called We the People. It's a story about the U.S. Constitution. Can you believe this? A woman married to a man who has done more destruction to the U.S. Constitution than arguably anybody since, Aaron Burr. And there she is. She's written a children's book about the Constitution.
And lesbians? Are there lesbians in it?
The book is titled We the People. She sat down with Harry Smith, co-anchor of the early show, to talk about her new book. Smith said, "This is about the writing of the Constitution, Mrs. Cheney. Declaration of Independence is a pretty easy story to tell. This is tougher. Why did you feel compelled to write this one?"
Well, it's just as important. One of the parts of the story I wanted to convey to kids is that it wasn't enough to be independent. We had to get ourselves a government that allowed us to be both a free and ordered society. In a way, we went ahead, and it took very brave people to come up with this, very persistent people.
Harry Smith noted that the country was in chaos at the time.
Well, the country is falling apart back then, so George Washington and James Madison and others said, we got to fix it. We got to get ourselves a government that will allow us to experience ordered liberty.
Ordered liberty.
It's a story that our kids should know, and it's a story that's been so relevant as we've watched the process of Iraq over the last few years. You know, having a government, Harry, having been liberated from Saddam Hussein wasn't enough. Yeah, you have to have a government, and it's tough sledding. It took us from 1776 to 1787 to get our Constitution, a couple of years more to get a government underway. It's a really important story. It's got great characters.
Well, what did you get out of this, Mr. Cheney?
Are you kidding?
No.
The satisfaction of helping kids and young people to know more about this great country in which we live.
Well, do they teach civics in school anymore?
Well, civics is kind of the problem, Harry. Sometimes we teach this abstract thing called civics. I want to teach the story. I want to teach the story of Ben Franklin being carried every day to the Constitutional Convention.
Literally in a sedan chair, right?
Literally, by convicts. He was old and he couldn't walk, but boy was he sharp. I want to capture the story of James Madison getting there early, writing the Virginia Plan before anybody else could confuse him about it, and getting that out on the table. It's a great story.
Well, Mrs. Cheney, I want to ask you a personal question. Term is almost finished. Is there a part of you that is ready to go back to Wyoming and chill?
Oh, sure. Sure. But there are many things I'll miss as well. It's been a great privilege the last 7.5 years. I'll miss the torture videos, among other things. Jesus Christ, we used to like those. I would dress all up in black leather with the appropriate slits here and there, and Dick would get out the supercharged battery for his pacemaker, and we would watch... Oh, I'm sorry. Are we still on camera? Oh, God.
What did you think of the vice presidential candidate? You're inferring there's only one. I think she's terrific. You must mean Sarah Palin. No. Joe Biden. Ha 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 ha. Well, I'd like to know more about Joe, Harry. There's been so much attention on Sarah, I'm not sure we've heard so much about Joe. Can I give you another really personal question? We just ran the Georgia Takei story. Because marriage is legal for gays in California now, would you wish that for your daughter? Well, I would wish my daughter to have happiness and freedom to make her own choices. The vice president said in the debate with Joe Lieberman ever so long ago in 2000 that freedom in this country ought to mean freedom for everyone, except the illegal combatants. Listen, what are you doing later? Do you want to come and see the costume I put on when we watch the torture videos? Huh? Do you, Charlie? Oh, I'm sorry. You're Harry. Ah.
Atlantic flew a 747 from London's Heathrow Airport to Amsterdam, fueled partly by coconuts.
And partly by carrot tops. And a little bit of mosquito repellent thrown in when they needed extra altitude. Ah! Crazy stuff. Oh, by the way, Lynn Cheney served as chairwoman of the National Endowment for the Humanities from 1986 to 1993. In 1995, she founded the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, a conservative group that monitors American colleges and academia. And wasn't Gore on that? Or Tipper Gore, somebody. Oh, well. She's a senior fellow in education and culture at the American Enterprise Institute. She also serves as the director of Reader's Digest Association. She is a director emerita of the Independent Women's Forum. From 1995 to 1998, she served as a co-host of the Sunday edition of CNN's Crossfire. She served on Lockheed Corporation's board of directors from 1994 to 2001, a $120,000 a year post she gave up shortly before her husband's inauguration. She served on the board's finance and nominating and corporate governance committees. And in 2000, she was mentioned as a possible female pick for Republican vice presidential nominee on the George W. Bush ticket. She repeatedly spoke out about explicit sexual lyrics in pop music. And she also, what did she write? What was that book she wrote about that had a lot of sex in it, Kathy? What was the name of that book?
Lesbians and the Constitution and the
No. That's
Women Who Love Them.
No, that's a different one. Oh, my God, these people are just, can you imagine writing this woman, of all the women in the United States, this woman writing a book for children about the Constitution, whose husband has destroyed the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Eighth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, whose husband has eliminated the balance of power between the three branches of government totally and completely, whose husband has absolutely corrupted the Supreme Court and turned the executive office into a goddamn dictator's lair. And she is writing, or has written, a book for little children about the Constitution. What's next, Lynn? The a child's guide to enhanced interrogation techniques? Is that the next one? How to deal with those big, nasty, dark-skinned enemy combatants for children. I've never in my life seen a sicker crew than the Bush crime family, the entire Republican establishment as it now exists. What passes for conservatism in this country, which is nothing more than just absolute destruction of anything it can get its hands on. I have never seen the kind of lies that are coming out of the mouths of these two freaks, these two utter freaks, this freak roadshow, this frickin' frack thing between Palin and McCain. Jesus God, this is bizarre. And Cindy always shows up. Where are you going today? Well, my friend, Sarah and I have a speech in somewhere in Michigan. Well, I'm coming too. Why? Just listen. Let me tell you something, John. Remember how we met. I started boinking you when you were still married. What, do I look like a fool? I may look like a jackass because I keep trying to dress like a 25-year-old woman. I'm really in my late 50s. But do I look like a goddamn fool? Do I look like a reptile? Where's your speech? Grand Rapids, my friend. Well, just book me a seat on that Greyhound bus because I'm coming too. We're flying. You're flying. You and Sarah. Yes, my friend. She's my running mate on the ticket. I know what she is. Dear, please, my friend, put your tongue back in your mouth. Sarah and I are nothing but business associates. There's no there, my friend. The religious right picked her for me. What, you think they would pick me a hoe? Where are you going after Grand Rapids? Samoa. I'm coming too. No, you're not, my friend. We have a rally out there.
You can follow that under, there's a campaign speech in my pants and you're invited.
All right, enough of this. All right, really. I mean, the whole program tonight is just degenerating into, I don't know, National Enquirer on this program? I'm sorry. I apologize. All right. Beat me, flay me, make me do bad talk radio. You know the quickest way to end this? Become a Nova M founding member. Pump some money into the company so they can hire someone who knows what they're doing. Go to NovaMradio.com, please.
You said pump.
We'll be back. I swear to God. All right, I'm going to go pop a Valium. We'll be back after the break. We will settle down and be serious.
I think Track took the last Valium.
I've got one more thing to do here. Deepak Chopra on Sarah Palin. And then we're coming to your phone call. So if you're on hold, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back. Oops. It is 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the NOVAM Radio Network. We're coming to your phone calls. Got an email here from Bruce. I mentioned two words that Lynn Cheney said in her interview with Harry Smith on CBS, the morning show. I think it was yesterday or was it today? Ordered liberty. Bruce writes, Mike, my jaw dropped when I heard you mention ordered liberty from Lynn Cheney. The phrase is from James Dobson. Here's the declaration. Then he gives me a hyperlink. I think this document may be, along with the neocon agenda, one of the most dangerous threats to America as we know it. All right. I'm posting the link at my website. It'll be there. Is it there now? It'll be there a little bit later tonight. So check it out. Thanks, Bruce. Good catch. When I heard that, ordered liberty. What the hell is ordered liberty? Is that like enemy combatant? Is that like freedom is slavery? Is that like war is peace? Well, yeah. Do you want to hear this Deepak Chopra thing? It's fairly quick, and then we're going to do phone calls. This was at Huffington Post. It's posted two weeks ago Friday. Is that right? 19? Yeah, I think so. Sometimes politics has the uncanny effect of mirroring the national psyche, even when nobody intended to do that. This is perfectly illustrated by the rousing effect that Governor Sarah Palin had on the Republican convention in Minneapolis. On the surface, she outdoes former Vice President Dan Quayle as an unlikely choice, given her negligent parochial expertise in the complex affairs of governing. Her state of Alaska has less than 700,000 residents, which reduces the job of governing to the scale of running one-tenth of New York City. By comparison, Rudy Giuliani is a towering international figure. Palin's pluck has been admired and her forthrightness, but her real appeal goes deeper. She is the reverse of Barack Obama, in essence, his shadow, deriding his idealism and exhorting people to obey their worst impulses. In psychological terms, the shadow is that part of the psyche that hides out of sight, countering our aspirations, our virtue, and our vision with qualities we are ashamed to face: anger, fear, revenge, violence, selfishness, and suspicion of the other. For millions of Americans, Obama triggers those feelings, but they don't want to express them. He's calling us to reach for our higher selves, and frankly, that stirs up hidden reactions of an unsavory kind. Just to be perfectly clear, I am not making a verbal play out of the fact that Senator Obama is black. The shadow is a metaphor widely in use before his arrival on the scene. I recognize that psychological analysis of politics is usually not welcomed by the public, but I believe such a perspective can be helpful here to understand Palin's message. In her acceptance speech, Governor Palin sent a rousing call to those who want to celebrate the resistance to change and a higher vision. Look at what she stands for. Small town values, a denial of America's global role, a return to petty, small-minded parochialism. Ignorance of world affairs, a repudiation of the need to repair America's image abroad. Family values, a code for walling out anybody who makes a claim for social justice. Such strangers, being outside the family, don't need to be heeded. Rigid stands on guns and abortion, a scornful repudiation that these issues can be negotiated with those who disagree. Patriotism, the usual fallback in a failed war. Reform, quote, an italicized term, since in addition to cleaning out corruption and excessive spending, one also throws out anyone who doesn't fit your ideology. Palin reinforces the overall message of the reactionary right, which has been in play since 1980, that social justice is liberal radical, that minorities and immigrants, being different from us pure American types, can be ignored, that progressivism takes too much effort and globalism is a foreign threat, The radical right marches under the banners of, I'm all right, Jack, and why change? Everything's okay as it is. The irony, of course, is that Governor Palin is a woman and a reactionary at the same time. She can add mom to apple pie on her resume, while blithely reversing 40 years of feminist progress. The irony is superficial. There are millions of women who stand on the side of conservatism, however, obviously, they are voting against their own good. The Republicans have won multiple national elections by raising shadow issues based on fear, rejection, hostility to change, and narrow-mindedness. Obama's call for higher ideals in politics can't be seen in a vacuum. The shadow is real. It was bound to respond. Not just conservatives possess a shadow. We all do. So what comes next is a contest between the two forces of progress and inertia. Will the shadow win again? Or has its furtive appeal become exhausted? No one can predict. The best thing about Governor Palin is that she brought this conflict to light, which makes the upcoming debate honest. It would be a shame to elect another Reagan, whose smiling persona was a stalking horse for the reactionary forces that have brought us to the demoralized state we are in. We deserve to see what we are getting without disguise. Nice essay, Deepak. And we'll have the link to that, I think. Yeah, we have the link to that at our website when the program's over. You can check it out. Phone calls, starting with Lee, who's listening on KKGN in Albany, California. Hey, Lee, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Guess the weather's pretty good down there where you are. Now I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, well, it's way past afternoon, but that's okay.
You know, if you play chess, you always play the other man's hand, and you always want to make certain you have an idea what the strategy is as to how the various pieces are being played. And right now, the vision I see right now is that McCain is indeed and I don't say this with any glee, is a walking dead man. He'll be dead in 2 years. The melanoma will spread. He also has a serious PTE, post-traumatic stress, disabled. You can see it when he walks. He doesn't walk now. The press is cutting it out. They don't see how nervous he is, how unstable he is. You don't see Cindy in the background ready to pick him up if he falls. You don't see him being led to a chair for an interview. The man is very, very, very ill. So what happens? Sarah takes over, and she becomes the president after being a vice president. And then she has a choice of submitting to the legislature, the Senate and the House of Representatives, a one person that she would like to have as her vice president to both the Senate and the House. And she's going to have to abide by the Constitution, which is Amendment 25. And that amendment will allow her to submit something that will require a majority vote or two-thirds for her to get the person she wants or the Republican she wants. So I don't see that this game is going to end up except in a checkmate, and the American public is the one that will be the loser.
Well, you know, Lee, that makes a lot of sense, and I think there are many, many people in this country who share that kind of bleak outlook. I agree with you. I mean, I'm certainly not a physician. I have no training in nursing or in recognizable symptoms of illnesses. But I've been around, you know, cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's in my own family. I've seen it. I know what some of the symptoms are of these diseases. And, you know, you're absolutely right. McCain is a desperately sick man. And I think that's another reason why it is so critically important, even if you can't stand Obama and Biden, that they get the White House this November. It's just critically important. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell. Side of me. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little insane.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Twenty-one past the hour. This is from Mark. Mike, been listening to at least part of your show on my way to work on Sirius 146 since I went back to working midnight shift last year. I figured midnight shift was the only way I could get a 12% pay raise instead of the usual 1% in these Republican times. Just wanted to say basically thanks for what you do. Somebody sure as hell needs to, and I'm glad you do. Keep up the good work. Just wanted to share the following with you for what it's worth. I've been test marketing this on my friends and acquaintances, and it seems to be getting some traction. Here it is. The Christian right Republican Jesus. He heals the money changers and throws the sick and lame out of the temple. Just came to me one day after way too many cups of coffee, but it seems right. Take care and keep on bitching. Regards, Mark. Here in Georgia. I like that, Mark. The Christian right Republican Jesus heals the money changers and throws the sick and lame out of the temple. That is so true. That's not even a stretch. That's not even a parody. That is received wisdom. That is truth. Thanks, Mark. Back to your phone calls. Pardon moi. Kevin is calling from Omaha, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, let's talk about the Republican money changers and the systematic greed. Had cable news on today, and I actually heard that someone said Resolution Trust Corporation, and I about hit the floor, because if you know anything about Omaha and savings and loan, we had quite a story going on here. And this guy named Lawrence King, he was a Republican. He did 15 years in prison over it. But
that was from the theft that went on when the Resolution Trust was supposed to be taking care of the failed savings and loans?
Well, he was involved in the savings and loan scandal.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Really tightly tied to the Republicans. The guy sang... Right. He sang the national anthem at the Republican National Convention in 84 and 88.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I haven't heard anything about it. It's just, you know, what's going on today is history repeating itself. It's looting of the big banks, which is what happened then, because they refused to provide any oversight or take any accountability.
You know, isn't this astonishing? I'm waiting for somebody in mainstream media on one of these networks, cable or over the air, to just state the case that look at what the Republicans have done. I mean, this country, most of us are not aware of the situation that we are in where it concerns our financial health, our monetary system, our banking system. And look what these sons of bitches have done, and look how quickly they've done it. Now, granted, the groundwork was laid going all the way back to Reagan, so the groundwork has been out there for over 20 years. But George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of these people came in, and dear God, look what they've done.
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't understand why Obama doesn't jump on this and just repeat this in Resolution Trust Corporation 20 times a day for the next 20 days, you know, and point out McCain's involvement with the Keating and with the legislation that he pushed. You know, it's exactly the same thing, what, 20 years later?
Yeah.
22 years later?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing, and this time, last time it was the big banks and the investment banks that came in and bought at the fire sale prices. They scooped up all the assets for pennies on the dollar, so the shareholders could get a little bit of their money back. And this time it's sovereign wealth funds. These foreign governments are coming in to buy up the assets.
Right. And what did I read the other day? I think the largest money market fund. I can't recall the name, but they have declared a 7-day moratorium, which they are chartered to do if they want to. But when the moratorium is over, people will be able to take out of their accounts 97 cents on the dollar. Forget any profit. Which begs the question, okay, where in the hell is the money? Who got the money? There is an international upper 0.1%, Kevin, that is ripping everything off. Just taking everything. And these bastards will walk. Shouldn't there be, I mean, if we are uncivilized enough, and we are, to have the death penalty, shouldn't those people be executed for what they have done? Because they'll come back and do it again.
Well, there should at least be some prison time. You know, like I said, you know, a couple people went to prison over that deal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really anybody that had any real hand in it. The people that got swept up in it were people that were just greedy and thought they'd get away with it and thought that their big Republican politicians would cover them.
Yeah, and you know what really gets me, Kevin, is that we don't have a word in the English language to describe what they've done. Greed, it doesn't, I mean, it's nothing. It's like saying burp, I mean nothing. Kevin, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Lord, 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 everybody was on in. They're going to divvy up the reward. Cause he left the neighborhood like a rattlesnake shedding his skin. Well, they searched the room, they checked.
Gana dinero, for the bush gana dinero. Gana dinero, for the bush gana dinero. Bush es un hombre insincero. De una familia muy rica.
Standing up to the Bush flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
De una familia muy rica. Antes de que usted.
It's 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Carol is calling from Valencia, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Carol.
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
I am Carol Lutnis, and I am the candidate, the Democratic candidate for the 38th Assembly District, and we're going to get the Republican out.
Well,
but
good.
This is what I'm going to wear my professional hat. I'm a psychiatric social worker, and I want to bring forth the possible hypothesis. You alluded to it the other night. You talked about how he has to be on script or else he loses it.
Right.
And of course today there was a great example. He was asked by a Spanish-speaking radio station about talking to officials in Spain, and he
right.
said, yes indeed, I want to speak to anybody in Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
You might possibly want to Google symptoms of dementia, and
well, Carol, I was talking earlier about just that. First of all, the interview with the Spanish radio program person, and also recent incidences in McCain's public appearances. That yes, going by the DSM-4 about
mm-hmm.
what qualifies a person as having diagnosable early dementia, he fits.
Yes.
And well, that's the scary part.
Yeah, I cannot diagnose, obviously. But I think the public should be aware that perhaps Ronald Reagan's dementia would not be considered as serious as other people's. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
that
sure.
when Ronald Reagan came in, you know, he had that sort of blank, fill in the spaces kind of presentation. And then, of course, it did develop into a dementia. But
right.
but I think that that's something that the public should really study to see whether you want someone in the White House, whether they're alive or not,
mm-hmm.
Who really has no short-term memory, has difficulty understanding complex kinds of issues, may or may not have tremendous temper outbreaks, and not be able to manage their affect, and you know, just remember he got off the plane a number of months ago, and he thought he was one place and he was another. And,
yeah, do you think?
And how many houses do you own? And,
right. Let me ask you something, Carol. I'm looking for a professional opinion here. Do you think that candidates for the presidency, they have to reveal their physical records, and they have to get a physical every year, I guess. I don't know if they have to, but I don't think it's written in the Constitution, but it's become pro forma to do that. Do you think mental tests should be required of people seeking the presidency?
Well, that's a tough call. You know what happened to Eagleton, you know? I mean, it was, you know, the kiss of death for him to admit that he had had a major depression.
Well, yeah, but that was 72. That was so long ago, and I think attitudes about mental health treatments have matured since then to a great degree.
Well, let us hope. I don't know that that's always true, you know. I've been warned in my candidacy not to identify myself as a psychiatric social worker.
Well, someone's certainly going to find out, Carol. I guarantee you that. Listen, thank you. I appreciate what you had to say. Got to move on. Eric is calling from Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hey, Eric.
Mike, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, absolutely.
Mike, it does scare me, you know, just the thought of having John McCain as our next president. But what bothers me even more is the fact that the media is not reporting the race relations that we have in this country. And there are just some people that will not vote for Barack Obama. They will vote against their own interests. Just because he's a black man.
All right, you're talking about the media not reporting the bigotry or the fear, or whatever, among white people that they won't, even though they know Barack Obama would do a better job, they won't vote for him because he's a black man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Barack Obama's pouring a lot of money into states like Indiana, trying to turn the state, make it a swing state, but if you look at the numbers right now, it's just not in his favor. John McCain has a slight lead in Ohio, and states, and another state like Virginia. The big question is, will rural white voters actually cast a ballot for Barack Obama?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of question marks all over the country. You can pick a state, and in the South, and any one of them is a toss-up. And I firmly believe, as a black man, that it just won't happen. They will not cast a vote for Barack Obama.
Yeah, I started talking about that, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months ago, and I agree with you. The rest of the world, I quoted from an article last night, the rest of the world is watching, because the rest of the world, sure, they have their bigotries and their tribal contempts and dislikes and hatreds and their religious yada, 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 but the rest of the world is watching to see if the United States is going to pass on a young, energetic, up-and-coming politician who has some ideas that need to be put in play in order to break away from this imperialism of the United States, or if we're going to deny Barack Obama that because he has some African descent and elect instead a man who's on the verge of death by cancer and a nervous breakdown from his PTSD and senility, and then have step into the slot a really crazy Christian fundamentalist woman who believes the world was formed 6,000 years ago. And the rest of the world, according to this article I read, is waiting to see if we have finally, after 232 years, gotten any kind of maturity, or if we're still going to follow these old dictates and bigotries and prejudices and say, no, I'd rather see the country die than elect a black man. And, you know, I tend to share the same fear you share, Eric, that it's going to be the latter. Go ahead.
Well, what really gets me, okay, I mean, I draw from my own personal experience when I look at the economy. And, you know, years ago, back in 2002, I went on a smoke break and was laid off. You know, I worked for MCI WorldCom. We all know what happened with MCI WorldCom. All the time when we heard, the company's in trouble, everybody was worried about their jobs. We were told that everything was going to be fine, that the company was going to rebound, hang in there. I just believed in the company. I poured my heart into that company.
Sure, sure.
I went on a smoke break, and when I went back upstairs, me and three other guys were laid off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see our economy, and I really wonder, do people get it? Do people get it, or do they just listen to everything that they're told? And when I talk to people on the street, at my son's football game or even at the grocery store, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people will honestly tell me, and I live in Houston, Texas, will honestly tell me that they think the country would be better off with John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I really don't.
I don't
it
either.
Baffles my mind.
You're not alone, pal.
And, you know, I listen to a lot of talk radio on Sirius, and some people really do have enough nerve to call up and really speak their mind. And whether it's their religious beliefs or, you know, social hang-ups that they have, they will come right out and say, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to vote for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. It's sad because I'm 38. But I have three kids, and maybe if I was living somewhere else in the world, I would be looking at America and I would feel, well, it's good for them. If they can't vote for the best candidate that's out there, good for them. They'll get what they deserve.
That's right.
But I think about my children,
that's
and
right.
I would like to believe that this will be a better country for them to live in. But I don't believe it. I hate to be a pessimist. I hate to look at the glass like it's half empty, but you said it the other night. Racism is the mother's milk of this country, and it really is. I'll be shocked if he wins. But thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll keep listening and keep speaking up because you do a great job, and I really appreciate you.
Well,
have a good night.
Thank you, Eric. I hope you call in again. I really do, and I appreciate what you had to say. You're spot on. You know you are. And I think anyone with an open head, open mind, will agree. You know, it's the so-called elephant in the room. This racism thing that is as much racism is as American as apple pie. Who said that? Stokely Carmichael. And it is, and we have such a perfect opportunity here with Barack Obama's candidacy. To finally get over. I mean, finally. It's just so easy. All it would take would just be a little bit of nudge inside your head if you're a white person who is having a problem with this man's race. Just a little nudge. Just try it. Just try it. Oh, my God. It would be such a liberating move for you. Ten before the hour, I like this. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Plato. Thanks, Victor. Thanks to the crew, our technical staff, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch, our non-technical associates, Sharon Gordy, who is our military affairs correspondent, and the ethical advisors of this program, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. By the way, if you have not gone to prosecutegeorgebush.com, Please do. I got an email from Bob today, the response last night, the initial response. And you know, this usually happens. That's a good thing. A lot of people responded. This is where, well, the website will tell you all about it, but it is about Vince Bugliosi's book about prosecuting George Bush for murder. And Bob Alexander, who runs superbeans.com, greatest coffee in the world, by the way. I know, I drink it every day, two or three times a day. Bob Alexander has put this together. He is collecting some bucks. He's going to buy these books at $15 a pop. He got a discount from the publisher. And send them, as many as he can, to the 2,700 county prosecutors in the United States. Any one of whom can then, using what Vince Bugliosi lays out in his book, very simple procedures, can charge George Bush with murder if a soldier died who resided in that county prosecutor's jurisdiction. Now, the Democrats in Congress are going to do nothing. When Barack Obama is president, he's going to do nothing. We all know this. Joe Biden is going to do nothing. Nobody is going to do a damn thing about what these sons of bitches have done to our country and our reputation and our honor, what little bit was left, and our dignity, and the fact that so many people, even during the Bush years, still look to this country as having the best chance for justice, having the best chance for life, liberty, and the pursuit of, well, you know how the story goes. And Bush and Cheney have destroyed it, very nearly destroyed it. And they're going to walk unless something happens at the last minute. So I'm asking you as a, really, I hate to do this, but as a personal favor, go to Bob's website, prosecutegeorgebush.com. Check out what he's got to say there. If you want to participate in this, do it. Okay? That's all. I personally, did you make a donation last night? Oh, you didn't? Okay, we need to do it tonight. There's a page where you make the donation that says that something will be shipped to you. I asked Bob about that. No. That's just standard garbage talk on when you use, what is it, PayPal or whatever the system is. So ignore that. Just fill it in. If you're going to do this, fill it in. And donate whatever way you want to. And we've got to do this tonight, Kathy. I thought we did it last night. Okay, we'll do it tonight. And it is just important for you to go to the website. What you do after you've gone to the website is your business. I'm not, you know, whatever. But go to prosecutegeorgebush.com and just take a look. And I must say, I really can appreciate what Bob Alexander is trying to do. If this should happen, then not to put too much of a load on Bob's back, but if this should happen, it's going to be a point of discussion about the efforts of Bob Alexander to get this son of a bitch the way he should be gotten, using the legal system, using the justice system. So, will you do that? Okay, just go to the website. What you do afterwards is entirely up to you. prosecutegeorgebush.com. Now, there's one other thing I want you to do tonight. I mentioned it at the beginning of the program. Got to mention it here at the end of the program, too. Don't gotta, but feel like I want to. We are still looking for subscribers, founders, novamradio.com. That's where you get the information about becoming a Nova M founder. There are ample rewards for doing that, not the least of which is it guarantees the continuation of this network and the programs that are carried on this network, which at the present time is on a regular basis two, mine and Randy Rhodes. So if to become a founding member, it'll cost you $10 a month or $100 a year. And I've said before, if you are unemployed right now or in a financial situation that precludes the idea of $10 a month or $100 a year. We understand. That's fine. There's so much available with Nova M that doesn't cost you anything. But if you can join up, become a founding member, please consider it. The information for that is at novamradio.com. Just check it out. Okay? So two places to go to check it out. novamradio.com and prosecutegeorgebush.com. All right? Well, I certainly had fun tonight. I hope you did too. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.